So like I said, the Buddha used the concept or idea of non-self. Then he said, it is self. Means I have control over it, isn't it? I can decide how I should live, isn't it? Let it be thus, or let it not be thus. But it's beyond your ability to control. And because you don't have control and power over it, that's why it's non-self, it's not you. Because all this has its respective nature's condition behind, especially the physical body. That's why the rupang, the physical body, external form, they are impermanent. They are non-self. Feeling is the same. Perception is the same. Activity of mind, sankhara, is the same. Consciousness is the same. Then basically, the five aggregates are impermanent. You grasp, you cling, you hold, you suffer. And because of that, you will come to understand it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it is anatta, non-self, empty. So the Buddha's way is at that time very suitable, very applicable, where he used the concept of non-self. So self, he proved it to you that it cannot be self. If it's self, you have control, yeah. Let it be thus, let it not be thus. But you realize you can't, understand? It is not you. It cannot be owned, cannot be possessed, cannot be clung onto and make believe that this is you. There is dependent originating, condition arising. Then he said, that which is non-self, is it a permanent unchanging entity? Then they say, it is impermanent. That is obvious there. Because it is non-self, that's why it is impermanent. Then after that, he said, all this five aggregate of form and mind, if it's impermanent, it leads to affliction. Is it still right to say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine? So indirectly, the monk understood. But a better way is through my own contemplation, this life. When I meditate, I aware, I realize, form is made up of element, no consciousness, no knowing. How can it be me? Then it definitely go the way of nature, because it's only element, no knowing, cannot be me. Then when it comes to the other four aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. When I was mindful, aware, I realized feeling come and go. I didn't die. Perception come and go. I didn't die. Activity of mind come and go. I didn't die. Then the moment of consciousness, this moment, that consciousness, next moment, another consciousness. Consciousness come and go. I didn't die. So very easily we can deduce that Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana cannot be you. But the question I always inquire is, if they are not me, then why did they arise in me? You understand that? Within this form of mind, you have the aggregate, feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. So when I reflected, contemplated, and inquired, I silenced my mind, I came to realize that these are all dependent originating phenomena. That's why they are arising and passing away within the five aggregate of form and mind, but they are not me. That's the reason why I always tell you all, inquire, find out. If they are not you, why did they arise in you? Then finally inquire, who are you? What are you? That's how I reflected, contemplated. Then I realized the five aggregate of form and mind is karmically conditional for me to come to this existential world. It's like a vehicle and a tool for me to exist, to experience life, to cultivate, to fulfill my work, to do whatever that my nature wants. Of course, for ordinary beings who don't have the understanding of the Dhamma, is to come back, to pay back karmic debt, understand not? To go through the karmic process. So when this is understood, I penetrate the anatta straight away. Straight away. Then I realize, he know you, he know me. All these are like the physics experiment, naturally arising. Understand not? Dependent on something, it arises. So feeling, how did it arise? How did it arise? Dependent on what? We have the senses in the physical body there. We have the consciousness trapped inside here. Then we have the external sense data. When these three come together and make contact, contact means what? You pay attention there, like seeing consciousness. Your mind is at the seeing consciousness. You pay attention there. Then you make contact with this organ called the eye. Understand? Then there is this sense data, color, shape, and form. That's why upon contact, that seeing consciousness like the light bulb lights up. At that moment, it's pure consciousness. The Buddha said, like the direct seeing. No one to see yet. No sakayadity, no being behind the sea. It's just their consciousness. Then I saw, through memory, we were conditioned and we learned how to name and label that thing that we perceive through the seeing consciousness. And because of that, we perceive, and this conditioning, which is memory, create the discriminatory consciousness or mind. So all your views, opinion, conditioning went in like the content of consciousness. Then I realized, hey, there's nobody inside there. Nobody is responsible for seeing. It's all very natural. When the condition fall into place, it manifests like the physics experiment. You're on the switch. You open your eye, the whole field of vision arises. That's why the Buddha said, consciousness is like a magician. We are the greatest magician. Everything that appears perceivable by our vision, they arise already. Understand? Like exist. And this is what the Buddha called an illusion. Understand? Not real. Because held by one. How do you come to know? Perceive. Through consciousness, image. How real can it be? Externally already dependent originating, condition arising, like the bullock cart. Then how do you know? The form is the form. Through your mental image. This is even more unreal than the outside one. Outside already unreal because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. So when I saw this, I realized, there is no reality in life. We are, everything is mind-made, consciousness, come and go, come and go. So when you understand all this through mindfulness, through awareness, when you see, then you see the unreality of form. You see the unreality of perception, unreality of feeling. But all these are dependent, originating. They come and they go. They come and they go. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind is non-self, not you, not a permanent unchanging entity. Understand that. Then do not cling, do not hold. It goes the way of nature, like the Buddha said. Everything is dependent originating. When there is condition, then it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. When the supporting condition is still there, it sustains itself, like my voice. If I continue to speak, it will sustain the vibration. Then you can hear me. But the moment I stop, what happened to that voice? That sound, that vibration, that hearing consciousness? No more, isn't it? But there is no more condition. But I didn't create that condition through my throat, the vibration, everything. So when you start to see dependent origination, condition arising, conditionality, then you start to see truth, nature's truth. Everything is cause and effect, come and go, but the complicated thing about the human being is they have this brain, these views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, tradition, everything. This is the one that mess up the whole thing. Then it introduces this content, and this content has mental intention behind, understand? And when you have sakkariti, what happens? You believe this is you. Then naturally, that form and mind will become selfish, isn't it? Because if you think you exist, okay? I put the right on the board. If you think this human being, the fine aggregate of form and mind, if you think this one exists and real, what happens? You build up the ego. Then this ego build up the egoic mind. Then this one become the personality. Can follow? So this is what sakkariti is all about. When you believe this is you, human being. So this one is sakkariti, or self-delusion. The moment you believe that this is you, that we call it sakkariti, then you arise the ego. The ego creates the egoic mind, which is a personality. Then what happened to you? You think you exist. You definitely create that delusion to own things, to possess things, understand? That's how your selfishness arrives. Then when things don't go your way, you don't like, you get angry. You become unhappy. Then when you cannot understand, you develop fear with delusion. So the three evil roots from here, the personality, it generated the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how karma comes into being. So when there is greed, hatred, and delusion, there will be selfishness, emotional negativity, etc. Just give me a minute. I have to answer this call. Okay, we continue on. That's why self-delusion or sakkariti is a very dangerous delusion. This one is very dangerous. Because of this sakkariti, self-delusion, the evil root arise, all of coming is affected. And because of that, the human being, through the senses, which is dependent originating, trigger of that respective sense or consciousness, at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, what happened? This ego, which is sakkariti, the egoic mind, introduced the mental intention, which is selfish, or full of hatred, envy, jealousy, emotional negativity, and full of delusion. It doesn't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. It doesn't understand the Four Noble Truths. It doesn't know that these are the realities of life and existence. Not only he or she subject to it, all living beings are subject to it. So if it's a common reality, then why you cling, why you grasp, why you become miserable over what happened? So this is what sakkariti can trigger off. the negativity of mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then Dhammapada verse 1, take its course, understand. Suffering will follow you. Like the hoof that follow the cart. So all this, you will come to understand where the teaching is there. But for people who without this teaching, since birth, society's way of educating you and bringing you up is to create that identity in you. Remember morning chanting? Identity with the physical body. You think you exist, they give you a name. Then after that, you grow up, they give you an identity card. Understand? Then later, a passport. Then you go to school. They mark attendance, they call you by name. Then you interact with people also by name. Everything you register in the system, you are identified. Understand? That's why you believe you are what you are. Then based on your physical appearance, they say you Chinese, you Indian, you Malay, you whatever, or the Westerner. Then worse is the gender. Male, female. That's why now you have so much problem. Gender discrimination. Understand? Racial discrimination. All to what? Identify with the form. Physical form. But when you identify physically, you create a lot of this unnecessary division. That's why Jay Krishnamurti said thought divine. But when you cling to this physical, believing it's you, you identify this, then you tend to divide them. Understand? Through what? First is through your race. Then through your religion, your belief system. Then through your gender. Then from your physical appearance, young, old, middle age, understand? Or youth. So all these are division. Then if you continue to be deluded by form, you cannot see the unreality of form, then you will grasp, you will cling. Then self-delusion lead to form delusion. Understand? Because form has power over you. You can become miserable over you. But if I have the direct seeing, I see beyond your physical form. What do I see? From form Dhamma, I penetrate and I see if I don't attach and cling to your physical, then there is no gender, there is no male, female, there is no Chinese, what, all this disappear. I don't look at the form. Then when I look beyond the form, what do I see? Every one of us still have a mind, understand? Then through mind, we are still different. Why? But less ready. The form delusion, division, gone. But mind still have its division. Your belief system, understand? Your views, your opinion, your ideology. All this can still divide. That's why two persons using the mundane mind to communicate, they can still argue. Understand? So if I can see beyond form, then I see the unreality of form, then I can be free from form delusion. Understand? Then after that, I saw mind. When I see the unreality of mind, I can see beyond mind, true or not. Then when I see beyond mind, beyond the five aggregate, who are you? What are you? Who am I? What am I? That's why I realize the true mind. Understand? And the true mind got nothing. No word, no concept, no delusion. Nothing inside that. Like Hui Neng say, originally there was nothing. Where can the dasa? So no duality, nothing. That's why when you see beyond form, see beyond mind, you see truth, you see reality. Thing is just the way it is. Like the Buddha said, see things as they are. And that seeing is the direct seeing from the nature. And that one, no word, no concept, nothing. That one is seeing reality, truth. Then that one developed the insight to understand that all these are dependent originating entity. Dependent originating entity. He know you, he know me. Nobody inside there. No permanent unchanging entity like a soul that is responsible for all the seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. No, everything is very natural. It just happened because of causes and conditions. So these causes and conditions or paticca-samuppada is very, very important. There's a right view with regards to law of karma, then right view with the law of mind. Law of mind explains the paticca-samuppada. Yeah. And law of mind explains all this conditionality, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then law of truth. This tree, when you penetrate, this tree spiritual law is the one that can give you insight, awaken your nature. Okay? The sutta on non-self. Anybody got any question? Huh? Or do you understand what the Buddha meant and how I, through my own understanding, I developed the understanding, which is very, very different from what the Buddha did. And I understand why the Buddha did that during his time. By using that, it's easier to let them understand. When you talk about self, a permanent self, then he said, if it's self, means I have control. Means I can decide. Let me be thus, or let me not be thus. But I can't. Understand? Like, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. Forever young, forever youthful, forever beautiful. That is not the nature's law. Understand? That's why the Buddha used this, then easy. Then he said, if it's non-self, is it permanent or impermanent? Then you will know it. It's definitely impermanent. All these things come and go. You are still around. And they have their cause and effect, dependent originating. Then after that, the moment you say impermanent, painful, then he come out with the final understanding. Whatever that is impermanent leads to affliction. Is it right to say this is me? This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Means self. Then straight away you understand, you know, oh yeah, that concept is not real, not true. That's why the monk at that time, they can awaken and become arahant because they have been cultivating in the past, and as waiting for somebody to express this truth to them. That's why they awaken. But for me, I didn't see the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta at first. I cultivate on my own. I realized it through another way, like I explained to you just now. Yeah, I saw this form without consciousness. How can it be me? Straight away, finish. Then I realized this one, I witnessed my parents, my grandparents, everybody. From birth to death, they age, they get sick, they get into trouble, injury, everything. And this is a reality. So how can it be you? That's why, very simple. Then I look at the mind. When I meditate, I aware feeling. I realize feeling. When I am in a good mind state because I can relax and aware, then I feel good. Understand? No unpleasant feeling. But in the early day, before I know how to relax and do this awareness based type of meditation, I felt the pain. Understand? So when there is pain, means pleasant feeling has become unpleasant feeling. So if feeling is me, I will die, isn't it? True or not? But if that pleasant feeling is me, it changed to unpleasant, I must have died, isn't it? Did I die? Hey, I didn't die. Feeling come and go, evolve, I didn't die. Understand? So how can feeling be me? Straight away. Understand? That's why feeling is nonsense. Feeling is impermanent. Yeah, I saw the dependent originating, condition arising. How it trigger off those feelings. Pleasant, unpleasant, from my memory, views, opinion. Because that sensation which I don't like, I call it pain, understand? Or itchiness and all. It's all through word, concept, I labor. If I don't labor, they are not there. Means I have to endure. But the reality is, condition like that, things like that, you got two choices. React against it and become miserable. Labor it and become mental hindrance. Understand? If you accept, means you find out why sloth and torpor, why pain. Sloth and torpor, as you know, is a mental hindrance because you must have either lack certain spiritual faculty, like your virya is not strong. That's why you feel sleepy, lethargic. Then pain is because you don't know how to relax. That flow of qi, the constriction there, created that tightness and all those things. Then that sensation developed into pain. A sensation that you know something is not right. That is how the body tell you that you have to do something about it. That's why it arises through pain, through itchiness or throat or whatever. All these are the body's way of telling the form and mind or the human being that you need to seek help. Like when there is a cut, there's an injury. So all this, they will prompt you. Or there is a stomach ache, you eat something wrong, or gas, or what. Means the system not right already, you know? Like you drive your car. It's supposed to be smooth sailing, no problem. And suddenly, or something like the engines die off. So all these are indicators to tell you that the car is no longer normal. Like our body also say. So if you are sensitive, aware, you will know what is going on. That's why I know my body very well. So this is what awareness is all about. Okay?